out. We're going to finish where we started last week. Before we get started, though, turn to Matthew chapter 8. You can remain seated for a minute. Matthew chapter 8. Pastor was talking to a farmer and said, "I miss seeing you at service on Sunday." The farmer to the pastor, "Well, I had some hay to put up. I figured it was better to sit in a hay baler thinking about God than to sit in church thinking about hay." The new book is getting better, isn't it? Kind of, sort of, maybe. Well, I can tell you this, though. I've changed the name of the clinic that I'm working at. I'm working at the Hokey Pokey Clinic. I've seen a lot of people turn themselves around. You do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself around. All right. Okay, I see that y'all were in a good mood this morning. Amen. What happened here? Here we go. We got technical difficulties. First, my battery was going dead on me. Let's see here. Come on up, buddy. You can do it. There we are. Give it about, y'all count to 3, 2, 1. There you go. All right. Here we go. Look at somebody and tell them God's good. Get your Bible out to Matthew 8. Sorry, I said Romans 8, 28, Matthew 8, 23. Now, we started this last week, and I'm still going to include some of the slides from last week, because some of y'all weren't here. It'll be a chance for you to catch up. Others that were here, it's a chance for you to get your mind wrapped around it again. This is going to be probably, this whole thing is going to probably be throughout the month of February. And I really believe that God's trying to tell us something in the very first of the year. Is how you want to see the rest of the year work is what you sow in the first of the year. What you sow now is what's going to come up later in the year. So it's very important, very, very important that we start out the year with that frame of mind and also knowing that nothing's impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen. Stand for the reading of the word, Matthew 8:23. Got your Bible, say amen. If you don't, sell me. All right. If somebody did sell me, look in front of you. There should be one in front of you. If it didn't, ask the person beside you, let you look on with them. Matthew 8:23. "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep." In other words, they're getting ready. They're having the difficulties of their life. They're having some very terrible, terrible, terrible things happen to them. And they're with Jesus, but Jesus seems not to even care. He's just asleep. "And his disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I think about so many years, and I mean years, we have stood before you and stood together and read your word and worshiped together. It is an honor. It is a privilege, but sometimes we become calloused to it. We become used to it. We become thinking that as long as we just do that, everything's all right, and we don't put ourselves in it. We don't engage. I ask you tonight, Lord, today, to help us, Lord, to, although we've done it for years, to remember to still engage, to still glean from the Word, because the Word is alive and powerful, and you never run out of learning. And I never run out of possibilities of reaping from the word so that we can sow it back into somebody else or in other situations. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to live in this moment right now. Not yesterday, it's gone. Not tomorrow, it's not here yet. What we're supposed to do is right now, God, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for our freedom. Today is the day for us to understand how to make it tomorrow, how to get rid of yesterday. Help us, Lord, to live in right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. Now, I'm going to kind of go through the first part kind of quickly, so y'all kind of hang on, all right? Look at somebody and say, hang on. All right. With faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible. Remember, I talked about on your fingernail, you can have 100 mustard seeds on your fingernail. 100. And God says one of those can move a mountain the size of Mount Everest. Wow. One little bitty thing, 100 of them can fit on your fingernail, but they can move a mountain the size of Mount Everest. Nothing is impossible with God. A little dab will do you. We're just going to talk about, we're going to pick up from last week. Every man has been given a measure of faith. Amen? And so watch this now. The reason God has given you this measure of faith is because everybody, y'all say everybody. Everybody in this church has been given a chore or a mission. They've been given a chance, an opportunity. They've been given challenges, which is problems, but they've been given confidence, which is enabling faith to get above the challenges to take a hold of the chance and move in our chore. Amen. Romans 12 and 3 says, God has given every man a measure of faith. And he also says in Matthew 7 and 20, faith is a grain of mustard seed. You can say this mountain be removed. And he was pointing at the mountain. Be thou removed. Jesus didn't have PowerPoints. Amen. He didn't have a TV ministry. All he had was nature around him, and he pointed to nature as he taught, as he was a teacher, as he was rabbi. Okay, so now, remember, we must all realize that we've all got a chore. We've got something to do for God. Everybody, say again, everybody has something to do for God. But his plan, Satan's plan, is to throw up stumbling blocks and walls. The difference in a stumbling block and a wall, the stumbling block impedes your progress, walls stop your progress. One slows you down, the other one stops you. And so this is his plan. And of course, we talked about it last week, so I'm not going to go into it. His weapons are distractions, distortions, and divisions, because his purpose is to ultimately, without a shadow of a doubt, stop you dead in your tracks. And so the challenges that are ahead, or I could just say problems. Here's the problems in this verse. First, we didn't read everything, but it had been an exhausting day. So it was an unending, uneasy task. They'd already been ministering to all these people. And as soon as they get on the boat and go through this storm, they're going to go ahead onto the other side, and they're going to engage with the devil head on. So here they are. They're ministering to people all day long. They're told to get in the boat. In the boat, they're not expecting it. They've got this storm. So it's an exhausting day. It's uneasy timing because there's a severe storm, and there's uneasy temptations because the sinking ship was about them, and in the middle of the sinking ship was a sleeping Savior. But you got to remember, Jesus led them into the storm. They followed him right into a crisis. And remember, God's will is not always smooth sailing. Jesus led them into the storm. They followed him right into a crisis. There's times I can think about in my own life when I know I was following God. I know I was hearing his voice. I know I was obeying him. And I went right into the middle of some of the worst storms I've ever faced. I went right into some of the worst things I had ever experienced. And Satan would have me believe that Jesus was asleep at the wheel, because why, if I'm following him, am I going to have these problems? Why, if I'm paying attention to what he's saying, reading his word, crossing every T, dotting every I, why am I going through some terrible things? Remember this, again, this is taking up from last week, and we're getting ready to jump into fresh stuff. Faith takes Satan's stumbling blocks and walls and accepts them as challenges. Now, you got a choice. You can either just say, God, I don't know why you allow this. I don't understand why I'm going through this. And so, you know what, God, I think I'm going to quit. I think I'm going to lay down. I think I'm just going to call it in. Just go ahead and bring her in for tonight, because obviously, God, you're not paying attention to me. You don't see what I'm going through, not realizing the whole time that he was with you the whole time, the whole period, and he never once let go of your hands. So now let's watch this. There's a confidence in our faith. All right, get ready. I love that. Look at there. there's a confidence in our faith. The Bible says, therefore cast not away your confidence in God, wherefore there's a great reward coming. That word cast aside your confidence literally means a soldier on the battlefield getting afraid in the middle of the battle, fearful of what's coming at him, throwing down his sword, that's casting it away, throwing down his confidence, throwing away his sword, turning around and running. Wow, have you ever done that? Please don't raise your hand. Okay, so here we go. Confidence. There's a confidence of faith. Let's look. Through faith, we see that Abel worshipped. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says, By faith, Abraham offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by even though he being dead, yet he spoke. Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he stood, and God used him to walk into adversity and to walk out successfully. And warfare, I like this last part of Hebrews 11 because it talks about all the people that quenched, that they walked through faith, they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should be made perfect. So again, whatever you're having to go through, God is going to give you the power, if you can think about that, mustard seed faith. Watch this. The smallest measure can move you from the impossible to the possible. Look how impossible is spelt. I'm possible. I'm possible. I'm possible because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm possible because I know my Redeemer liveth. I'm possible because the faith is a grain of mustard seed. You can say this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and it will be done for you. The smallest measure can move you from the impossible to the possible. Somebody say amen on that. Come on. Come on. Come on. Here we go. Now I'm not going to keep you much longer. Some of y'all are going, please don't. Just remember, that mustard seed can move a mountain. If that mustard seed can move a mountain, it can speed up this sermon. Oh, come on now. All right, here we go. Here we go. Lessons of faith. Lessons of faith was upon them. In this story, there's two rebukes. Jesus rebukes the storm, and Jesus rebukes his disciples. Wow. Wait a minute. Let that sink in. Jesus rebukes the storm that's coming against his disciples. They're crying out for help. And then he rebukes them. Wow. What kind of lesson is he teaching here? He's trying to show them the danger of little faith. He's trying to show them the danger of just trying to get by. He's trying to show the danger of a drive-by relationship with God. Anybody ever seen a drive-by relationship with God? I've seen them. I'll be in Walmart and they come and say, pray for me, preacher. I got this going on tomorrow. And I say, why don't you pray for it yourself? Well, God don't hear my prayers. Really? That's not what my Bible says. Oh, why don't you get your pastor? Oh, that's right. They said, no, we can't because we don't go to church anywhere. We've got no pastor. We've got nothing. Matter of fact, anything we ever need, we just get off television. Really? Little faith. So there's two rebukes and there's two commons. The first calming is without the sea. The second calming is within, and that's the disciples. So watch this now. Here we go. This is where I wanted to get to last week and never got a chance to. Sometimes all you need is faith as big as a mustard seed, and God will do the rest. What I have discovered is if I do what I can do, God will do what I can't do. The problem is we say God failed us. Wait a minute. God didn't fail you. God's waiting for you to do what you can do, and then he'll do what you can't do. Because when you do what you can do, then you ignite your faith. And when you ignite your faith, then God does what you can't do. But when you sit back and just wait for things to fall into place and do nothing on your own, you have not ignited your faith. But instead, your faith lies dormant. Remember I told you about the seeds they found in the pyramids, thousands of years old. These seeds were thousands of years old. They took these seeds and they were there in bags. Pharaoh was going to lead them into the other world. So they had these bags of seed. They took the bags of seed and they took them outside and they planted them and they grew. Those seeds were thousands of years old, but they never grew because they never touched the soil. The germination process didn't take place. The same way in our own life. When we're wanting God to move in our life, but we don't pray. We want somebody else to pray for us. We don't seek him. We want somebody else to seek him for us. We don't read his word. We want somebody to read it for us. God is not a lucky charm. God is not a charm bracelet. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And so because of that relationship, when we begin to do what we can do, what happens is now we start putting the seed in the soil. And once you put the seed in the soil, you back away and let the seed do its own thing. All you do is just cultivate it from here on out. The seed knows what to do. The seed will take care of itself. But in order for it to do anything, it's got to be put in the soil. So watch this. And getting close to the end. All right, ready? There's a difference in little faith and faith of the grain of mustard seed. He said, oh, ye of little faith, why'd you doubt? Ready? Let's go for this thing. Me, faith, seed size equals mountains move. Me plus faith times the size of a seed can move mountains. Ready? Little faith, mustard seed faith. Little faith is puny. Mustard seed faith is powerful. Still the same size. There's still only 100 on your thumb. 100. Still the same size. But mustard seed faith is powerful. It's not puny. Mustard seed faith is confidence in God. Puny faith is confidence in self. You know, just this week, I can think about all the things that I wind up getting in the middle of in the last few weeks, the stuff that I wind up getting in the middle of. I didn't ask for it. I weren't looking for it. But God put me in the middle of some of the weirdest, some of the hardest, some of the most strenuous things to help people with. And as I got put in there with them, instead of me going in going, oh no, oh no, oh no, I went in saying, God, I don't have this, but you do. And every time, God showed himself strong. And people ask me all the time, how can you be so confident when you go in situations like that? And I go, because I know I'm not going on my own. I'm in God's pocket. I'm in his pocket. I'm not doing it by myself. So, it's powerful because there's confidence in God. I know God's not going to let me down. I don't always understand him. I don't always understand his timing. I don't understand why he does what he does, but he's God. Just for an example, last night, I know, and if Carolina had a won, I'd be telling the same thing. Last night, with just 6 seconds to go, and they were shooting, and it was down by three. Duke was down by 3 points. And I told Linda, I said, Linda, they needed to shoot a three-pointer, but they'd already tried to shoot a three-pointer, and of course they got shot down before they got across the line, so they couldn't shoot a three-pointer. So they're taking it in, and when they go take it in, I said, they need a three-pointer, but they're going for a two-pointer. I told Linda, I said, Coach K got something up his sleeve. Don't know what it is, but there's something on it up his sleeve. And when he went to shoot the free throw, instead of shooting the free throw, he threw it against the backboard, and it bounced back, and somebody called it And then they took it and they made the three-pointer. Because instead of going for the 2 points, they did something absolutely crazy. One of those trick plays. They threw it up against the backboard. It came back. Everybody's still trying to figure out what's going on, and they tied the game. I looked over at Linda. I said, "Now, that ain't some awesome coaching. I don't know what it is." And after the game, they asked him, said, how in the world did you know to do that? Watch this. He said, "Because one of the coaches and I have worked this play out thousands of times already. We had never seen it. But the coach said, one day you're going to be in this bind and you're going to need to do this." And so, and it was one of the former players. Yeah, it was the coach. He said, "Here's what I want you to do. Practice throwing against the backboard and making it go where you want it to go so your guys can catch it, so they can get it back to you so you can shoot." And so, again, thousands of times we practiced it, but you know what? We had never seen it. They practiced it in the dark, but it was revealed in the light. The same way, a lot of times God's doing something, you're thinking, what in the world is he doing? You can have confidence in him because although you might not know what's going on, he's already seen in the dark what's going to happen to you when you're in the light. Also, it's a conviction that God is bigger than the problem. Little faith is, the conviction is the problem is bigger than God. Wow. Do you look at your problem as bigger than God, or do you see your God as bigger than your problem? And then finally, mustard seed faith, you have conquest, you have gain. Little faith, you have confusion, and you have loss. Remember, and we're getting ready. Y'all look at me. Y'all looking like a mule looking at a new gate. Get ready. Tell somebody, say, "I can smell McDonald's now. I smell it by faith." All right. Of course, you ain't smelling much, but smelling by faith. All right. Get ready. Whatever's made out of, yeah. Faith in God doesn't make things easy. It makes things possible. It doesn't make things easy. It makes things possible. Wow. I love it. I have a mustard seed, and I'm not afraid to use it. DC, come here. I have a, come on up here, Jeff. Y'all guys, come on up here. One Easter, before I started pastoring, before I even started preaching, I knew I was playing in a band, but I wasn't preaching. And as I was serving God, one Easter morning, my mother-in-law, who was Jehovah's Witness, had always told us, "Don't tell me about God. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want you to tell me a thing about God. I know all I need to know. I don't want to hear it." And Beverly had even in smaller times, had even at times laid on the floor in the Kingdom Hall or laid on the pew in the Kingdom Hall during some of their services. So my mother-in-law said, "I don't want to hear it. If this is what y'all want to do, that's fine, but I don't want to hear it." One Easter morning, my mother-in-law called me and said, "What time does church start?" I said, "Well, Sunday school starts at 10. She says, "That ain't what I'm asking. What time does church start?" I said, "Well, church starts at 11. She says, "Okay, I'll see you then. Save me a seat." Just before 11 o'clock, my mother-in-law come prancing on in there. She sat down beside us. At the end of the service, when the preacher gave the altar call, she jumped right up and she went right to the altar. Got a chance to help lead her to the Lord that morning. When The service was over. She looked at me and she says, "Wow." So I just want you to know something. This service is not what turned me to God. She said, "This service is not even what caused me to get saved this morning." I said, "Well, what did cause you to get saved this morning?" She said, "I've watched you and my daughter serve God for many years." And she said, "Things were never easy, but once you started serving God, things got tough for you." And she said, "I saw you get in trouble time and time again. Saw your youngins get sick. Saw things happen. So I saw things happen time and time again." She said, "But every time, she said, "I watched God come through for you like nobody's business." She said, "I saw what he could do. I saw what he did. I saw how he handled every situation. He never let you down." She said, "The God I serve isn't like that." She says, "I want to serve the God you serve." And that stuck in my head. She's still serving God. But that stuck in my head that I had no idea that as I was learning how to cultivate my faith, my wife and I cultivate our faith and plant that seed and trust God and let that mustard seed sprout up. And we saw mountain after mountain after mountain move. We had no idea the impact it was having on my Jehovah's Witness mother-in-law. People are watching you. Your testimony can be the cause of many people giving it to God. Everybody stand. You say, "Well, God, just a little bit of faith. That's all." Jesus says, "That's all you need." When we first got saved, I had no idea what I was even doing. I had no idea. I just know that it was the craziest thing. I start going to church. Next thing you know, I get moved into engineering at Procter & Gamble, and I'm there all day long as electrical designer with another electrical designer, just me and him all day long. And he was a Church of God in Christ bishop, elder. And he started teaching me how to study God's word and started teaching me how to get in there and started teaching me how to believe God for miracles. And all day long, we still did our work, but all day long, he invested in me and invested in me and invested in me. Very powerful man. And I watched the mustard seed faith time and time and time again do something great. Let me ask you a question. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. The whole purpose of the day is not to beat anybody down. Nobody needs a beat down. The world beats us down enough. Today is the day to be lifted up. With every head down, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you something. Nobody else is going to look around. I want you to look at your life. Are you living by little faith or mustard seed faith? Is your faith puny? Is it confidence in yourself and what you can do? Do you see your problems as bigger than God? Is there a lot of confusion in your life and loss? Or do you have that mustard seed faith where it's powerful? You have confidence in God. You have a conviction that God is bigger than your problem, and you see a lot of gains, not a bunch of losses. I'm talking to you right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Would you say, "Pastor, you ain't got to hold your hands up long. This is just part of activating your faith. It's getting it in the ground. It's taking the seed out of the bag and putting it in the ground. And it starts with confession. Have you been putting confidence in self? Have you been seeing the problem bigger than God? Have you been confused and suffered loss? You've been a victim of your own little faith and didn't even know it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you put that hand up and say, you know, yep, I've been a victim of my own little faith. I didn't even realize it. I see it. Have you seen your problems through your own strength? And have you seen your problems bigger than God? Again, just slide up. Slide up your hands. There you go. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. What you just did was you took your seed out of the bag. Now we're going to get ready to put it in some fertile ground. If you're here today and you're wanting God to help you have some unshakable confidence in Him, but nobody's looking around, would you put that hand up? Yes, I want that unshakable confidence in God. Yes. Yes. That bag just got ripped open. The ground opened up. Do you want to live by conviction that God is bigger than any problem you ever faced? Could you just slip that hand up? Guess what? You just dropped that seed. That ground's going in. You're getting ready to put the ground around it to see that mustard seed faith grow. Are you ready for conquest and gain versus loss and confusion? One more time. Would you just put that hand up? Yes. Guess what? Today is your day. Through faith in God, I want y'all to say this with me. Father, I believe your word. It is greater than what I think. It is greater than what I have experienced. It is greater than what I'm facing. It is greater than anything coming my way. I trust God. I trust you, Lord. And I'm going to believe that you got this, and that something special is taking place at this moment. A powerful confidence in you, a powerful conviction that you are bigger than my problems, and a powerful conquest. I will no longer lay down in loss, but I will stand up in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, one more thing. I want you to keep your head bowed for a minute. One more thing. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not going to make an example out of you. I just want to know because I want to pray with you. We can do it all together right now. Nobody even know you're out here, but just me and you. And God, of course. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, would you just slip that hand up and say, I want to know, but I don't? And are you here today and you're not sure? You may not. You have no idea. You asked God into your life years ago and things happened and you backed away and now you're not even sure of your own standing and relationship with God. But nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. Would you slip that hand up and say, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're not as close. Everything's fine as far as your relationship of knowing you're going to heaven. But you're still having a tough time down here because you're not on good talking terms with Him. You're not on good communication with Him. And you're not sure how He wants to do what He wants to do in your life because you have moved away from Him. Nobody looking around. Would you just slide up that hand and say, that's me. I'm saved, but I'm sour. I've grown sour. I'm saved, but I've grown sour. I need God. Okay, let's all pray together. Ready? Father, I need you to come into my life again. I rededicate my heart, my soul, my everything to you. I know that you are my God, and I trust you. I thank you that you are my Savior. I give this day to you. Father, I thank you for restoration. I thank you for new life. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Now we're going to be, we started the caretaker Bible study. We've gone through 2 weeks of it. And this has been some pretty intense stuff. It's not just a little mechanical thing. It's not just a little get or done thing. What it is I've pulled the plow down, lowered the plow down, taking our time, because it's very important that everybody learns something about caretaking. And you find that also it's more than just taking care of sick folk. It's a whole lot more than just taking care of sick folk. Caretakers can be teachers, firemen, policemen, pastors, mothers, fathers. Getting ready, I'm not sure if it's going to be this Tuesday night or not, but I'm getting ready to talk about being the meat in the sandwich. You're sandwiched. You're taking care of the elderly, and you're taking care of those below you, and you're caught in the middle. So there's not a whole lot of breaks. So you feel like you're being eaten alive. You're the meat in that sandwich. While those above you need you, while those below you need you. When I say below, I'm not talking about status. I'm talking about younger people or somebody that needs something. You got two different generations. You're ministering to two different generations. You're the sandwich in the middle, and that meat is getting thin. What do you do? That's coming up shortly. It's been a blessing to me, and I know it's been a blessing to many. So don't forget, Tuesday night, we're talking about caregivers. And if you know somebody that's a caregiver and they don't know about this, tell them. Tell them about it. Because it's something good coming, I promise you. Everybody happy? You happy and you know it? Okay. Brother Baker. The white-headed Baker. Okay. The one with the beard still can't do it. Okay. The one on the front row. We just miss us in prayer.